How many beloved appreciate our pastors? Come on, shout amen. God bless you. You may be seated for just a few moments. I'm going to do my best not to preach long today, because blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be heard again. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful Lord. Now this morning we're going to start off nice and easy, quiet, sober, somber, reserved, laid back, low-key, and dignified. Not. But tonight, everybody shout tonight. I believe tonight the healing power of God is going to flow like the river and fall like the rain. I'm believing God for some mighty, mighty, mighty demonstrations of the Spirit of God. Now in January this year, I was in the state of Indiana. And on a Sunday morning, four young boys came up to me. They said, "Do you remember us?" Well, they looked familiar, but I had to be refreshed. I said, "Well, I believe I do." They said, "A year ago, you called us out of the church service. You called us up to the front." I looked out a year ago and I saw these four brothers. I didn't know they were brothers at the time. I saw these four boys. I said, "Well, would the four of you come up here right now?" And they stepped up there in front of me. And I said, "What do you need from the Lord?" And they spoke up together at the same time. They said, "We need our dad to get saved." I said, "Are you brothers?" "Yes, we're brothers." I'm talking about they were 18, 19, 20, and 21. And they're all called to preach. They said, "We need our dad to get saved." They said, "Years ago, our mom got saved. And she encouraged us to give our lives to the Lord that we have. But recently, our mom got promoted to heaven. But our dad has never been saved. And we're believing God for our dad to get saved." Well, when they said that, I reached in my Bible and pulled out my handkerchief. I carry more than one. I carry several for times like this. And I quoted them Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. How God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. That from the Apostle Paul's body was sent out handkerchiefs and aprons. And the diseases departed and the evil spirits left them. And I said, "Fellas, let's anoint this prayer cloth together and pray over what we did." I said, "I want you to go home and I want you to take this handkerchief, this prayer cloth, and put it in your dad's pillowcase or under the mattress." Well, they could do it that night because he's already asleep. But Monday night, they snuck in there. And they put their prayer cloth under the mattress. Well, Tuesday morning, they were in the kitchen, all four of them. And the dad comes in. He said, "Fellas, I couldn't sleep all night last night." That's God. "And all night long, I was trying to talk to Jesus, but I don't know your Jesus. Your mom talked about Jesus, and you talk about Jesus, but I don't know your Jesus." And I was saying, "But how do I get to know you?" And heard a voice saying, "Just ask your sons." He said, "How do I know this Jesus?" And the four boys, they led the dad to the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Now when they shared that with me on that Sunday morning, I felt impressed to have people come back that night to bring prayer cloths. I said, "Don't bring a blanket. Don't bring a quilt. But bring prayer cloths." And that night, people brought prayer cloths with them because we're believing God. How many of them? Our God's a mighty God. Our God's a powerful God. And so people brought prayer cloths with them. And there was a prayer line from wall to wall. And I was over here praying. And I didn't see this one lady walk up. But I finally got to her. She had the prayer cloth in her hand. And I reached for her and I just laid my hands upon that prayer cloth and agreed with her. And the power of God hit her. She went down. I'm talking about she went down so quickly. She did not give me a CD. That's a courtesy drop. But the power of God hit her. Bam! She went down so fast. We didn't have time for the catchers or the cover girls to get there. And so, service was wrapping up about 9 o'clock that Sunday night. And she was still out. And her husband said to the pastor, go ahead. I've got a key to the church. And when she gets up, I'll put it in the car and I'll lock up the church. Well, guess what? Midnight came and she was still out. Well, he picks her up and takes her to the car, comes back and locks up the church. He takes her home and puts her in bed. Well, the next morning he's ready to go to work. But guess what? She was still out. So he decides not to go in to work that day. So here was about noontime. He was sitting there in the bedroom and all of a sudden she sits up. And she swings around, puts her legs on the floor, and then jumps up. She springs up. And when she did that, he had a Holy Ghost conniption. Come on now. You say, why is that? Well, I didn't see her come up. But when she came up the night before, she came up struggling like this. She had severe arthritis, crippling arthritis. But when she got up about noon the next day, she was completely healed. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. And I've ministered along these lines, the prayer calls, I would say maybe a dozen times since the 1st of January. And we've had people healed of all kinds of things. Allergies, scoliosis, skin disorders, all kinds of things. Marriages put back together again, salvations. Loved ones been turned around. One man had been drinking for over 30 years, but guess what? He woke up the next day and said, I don't know what's going on, but I made up my mind, no more alcohol. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. So I believe God is going to move mightily. We're going to pray for those that need miracles. He's a miracle-working God. But also, I'd encourage you tonight. How many of you need a miracle? Come on, shout amen. Maybe for yourself. Maybe for a loved one, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, your neighbor, your in-laws, your outlaws, whatever. Come on now. Let's believe God together. Amen. Well, glory to God. I'm ready. Well, would you turn with me, please, this morning to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. One verse of Scripture, verse number 36. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. Now, if you want to see somebody that's blessed, look up. I'm blessed. I've been serving the Lord now for almost 53 years. And I've been traveling as an evangelist for over 51 years, from coast to coast and around the world. And it's getting better and better all the time. Can somebody shout, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 36. If you're there, shout, I'm there. If you're not, just look up. And Hezekiah. Now, who was Hezekiah? He was the king of Judah. And Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people. Let me tell you something. It's okay to rejoice. The Bible declares rejoice. And again I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice and be glad therein. And Hezekiah rejoiced. And all the people. That God had prepared the people for the thing. Was done. What's that last word? Seven. Come on, shout it again. Seven. I'm here to tell you this. God has a suddenly just for you. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. And Father, I believe today, because of your holy word, we will never, ever be the same again. And Father, I believe today, Your word will not go out one ear out the other, but your word will fall upon good ground and feed glory and will bring forth much fruit. We thank you and we bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all of God's people said together, amen. I say God has a suddenly just for you. Now the prophet Isaiah said this, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. In other words, forget about what happened yesterday. Forget about all the wouldas and the couldas and the shouldas. He said, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. He said, for behold, I will do a new thing now, and it shall spring forth. In other words, there's going to be a suddenly. But remember this, He is still the God of the suddenly. You see, all through the Bible we find words like this. Immediately, quickly, straightway, suddenly. Why is that? Because our God is still the God of the what? Say it again. Suddenly. He's the God of the suddenly. Now there's one word suddenly here in the text. Suddenly means happening unexpectedly. It means changing all at once. That sounds just like my God. Hallelujah. Now all through the Bible, God moved in sudden ways. The eyes of the blind were opened. Suddenly. The issue of blood dried up. Suddenly. The leprosy was cleansed. Suddenly. The dead was raised. Suddenly. The great storm became a great calm. Suddenly. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And guess what? And God did it for Hezekiah and for all of Judah. What? Suddenly. You said, but hold on. But that was then. But what about now? For you, beloved, there could be sudden breakthroughs. There could be sudden restoration, sudden healing, sudden miracles, sudden ideas, sudden open doors. God has done it before and God will do it again and again and again. And God did it for Hezekiah and for all of Judah. And know this, God is no respecter of persons. If God has done it before, guess what? He will do it again and again. If He done it for one, He will do it for another one. But God did it for Hezekiah and for all of Judah. But you're asking the question, but what did God do for Hezekiah and for Judah? You see, before Hezekiah became king, in the chapter before this, in chapter 28, we find that his father, Ahaz, A-H-A-Z, Ahaz was the king of Judah. And Ahaz was a wicked king. He was wicked, evil, vile, sinister, and corrupt. And for 16 long years, he kept the people of God in bondage. And for 16 long years, he held the people down, down, down. In fact, his name Ahaz means, and he has brought bondage. But I got a word for you. Thank God Ahaz died. And guess what? Your Ahaz is about ready to die. Come on now. Now maybe you don't have a literal Ahaz in your life, but maybe there's a physical Ahaz. Maybe there's an emotional Ahaz, a financial Ahaz, a marital Ahaz. But I'll say it again, get ready, because your Ahaz is about ready to kick the bucket. Come on, shout amen. Now when Ahaz died, his son Hezekiah became the king. Now Ahaz means what? It means he has brought bondage. But Hezekiah has a better name. Because Hezekiah means the Lord God Jehovah is my strength. How many of that sounds a whole lot better? Come on now. And when Hezekiah became the king of Judah on day one, he didn't wait till the next day, the next week, the next month. But on day one, Hezekiah, he made some right decisions. And your decisions will determine your destiny. Now, I want you to notice five decisions Hezekiah made as the king of Judah. What were they? Number one, Hezekiah decided to do that which was right in the sight of Almighty God. He said, I'm going to walk in the ways of my father David. I thought Ahaz was his father. Ahaz was his natural father. But David was his spiritual father. He said, I'm going to walk in the ways of my father David. Then who was David? He was a man who was anointed of God. He was a man who was a praiser. He was a man after the heart of God. He was a man that said, I'm going to walk up right before the Lord my God. And that's what Hezekiah said, I'm going to walk in the ways of my father David. But what about us? We've got to make that same decision. I'm going to walk up right before the Lord my God. And 53 years ago, I was a nobody going nowhere. I was at time to share my testimony, but I don't have time today. But my life was a mess. 53 years ago, I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I've been arrested 45 times in and out of county jails and city jails as a teenager. I served time twice in the penitentiary. I was waiting to serve 40 years, but I got out in 5 months. Praise the Lord. My life was a mess. But he said, I'm going to walk in the ways of my father David. And 53 years ago, when God changed my life, I made up that same determination. I'm going to live for my God. I'm going to serve God. And today, I don't smoke, drink, dip, chew, cuss, gamble, short, vape, judge, chase ugly women, or vote Democrat. Come on now. Did I say that, Pastor? I'm talking about it's time to be like Hezekiah. We're going to walk upright before the Lord our God. Come on, shout amen if you're going to walk that way. And the second thing was this. Hezekiah said, it's time to clean up the house of God. Because for 16 long years, the house of God, it had been shut up. The altars turned over, the lampstand turned over. There's nothing but garbage and rubbish and junk inside the temple. But Hezekiah on day one said, it's time to clean up the house of God. He said, let's start from the inside and work our way out. But what about us? It's time to clean up the house of God. And beloved, we are the house of God. It's time we get rid of all that garbage and that junk and that yuck and that trash and that filth and the slime. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Get rid of all the anger and the bitterness and the rebellion, the greed by gossip and the murmur and the complaint and the backbiting. Haven't missed anybody. It's time to clean up the house of God. He said, I'm going to walk in the ways of my father David. Walk up right before God. It's time to clean up the house of God. And the third decision was this. He said, it all ends today. Come on, say that. It all ends today. Say it again. It all ends today. I mean, they've been in bondage for 16 long years. But Hezekiah said, no more. No more. No more. Enough is enough. I believe Hezekiah was inspired by that saint of old, Popeye the Sailor Man. Did you ever watch Popeye growing up? I thought you did. Every Saturday morning on every episode of Popeye. Every Saturday morning, Popeye's arch enemy, what was his name? Brutus. He would come against Popeye because he was after one thing. What was it? He was after Popeye's main squeeze, olive oil. And every Saturday morning, he would come against Popeye. But Popeye would get so mad. Popeye would get so riled up. Popeye would get so ticked off. And Popeye would reach over and grab his can of what? Spinach. And he'd hold that can of spinach up. And before he would consume that spinach, he'd always say these words. What was it? He would say, I've had all I can stand. And I can stand no more. Won't you hold your can of spinach up? Come on, church. Come on now. Hold it up high and say it like Popeye of old. I've had all I can stand, and I can stand no more. You see, that's what Hezekiah was saying. We've been in captivity. We've been in servitude and slavery and bondage for 16 long years. But no more. No more. No more. No more. It all ends today. Won't you have the same determination? Hell's come against you, your home, your family, your marriage, your business, your ministry. But won't you rise up, look hell in the face, and shake your can of spinach and say, no more devil, no more, no way, enough is enough. Come on, shout, enough is enough. Hallelujah. Well, glory. It all ends today. I mean, some of you need to go home today. You need to open up that front door. Walk in and point your finger at the devil. I'm not talking about your husband, honey, no. I'm talking about the devil. And say, you've come against me for the last time. You've come against my home and my family and my marriage for the last time. You've come against my church and my pastor for the last time. Get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout. Enough is enough. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody shout amen. But also Hezekiah made a fourth decision. He said, it's time to honor the blood. Everybody shout the blood. And for 16 long years, his father Ahaz had not allowed them to celebrate Passover. For 16 long years, the people of God were not allowed to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Not a lamb, not a ram, not a bullock, nothing. But guess what time it was in the season of Israel? I mean, Judah at the time. At this time in Judah, what was it? It was Passover season. And he knew, King Hezekiah knew, that when the people began to honor the blood, that God would begin to bless them. It happened at Passover. Oh yeah, oh, it is the Passover night. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It happened at Passover. They entered the promised land. It happened at Passover. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. It happened at Passover. Gideon and his 300, they defeated the Midianites. It happened at Passover. The handwriting of judgment came against Belshazzar in Babylon. It happened at Passover. Come on, somebody. It's time that we begin to honor the blood. It's time we lay our lives down upon the altar. Oh, come on, shout amen. Passover, Passover, Pastor Michael, guess what? It's not over because of Passover. Come on now. And I know that God has a great plan for you. Let's begin to honor the blood. Let's honor the blood. Everybody shout the blood. But he made one more decision. What was it? He said it's time to praise the Lord. He said it's time to praise the Lord. Why is that? Because for 16 long years, Ahaz had forbidden the people of God to praise God. No more praise. No more worship. No more adoration. No more thanksgiving to Almighty God. And how many of the people of God, they were ready? I mean, they had a whole lot of pent-up praise. I mean, they were ready. It was down there waiting to get out. Come on now. I mean, they had some pent-up praise. Have you ever been around somebody that had some pent-up praise? I have. I've been blessed with travel all around the world. And one of the places I've been to, I've been to Communist China, mainland China. I've been there before, the underground churches of China. For example, you may be in a room. They call it a church, but it's not a church. It's a room somewhere. Maybe a room where we would see maybe 20 people in a comfortable fashion that would have 100 people packed in there, standing for 3 and 4 hours at a time, standing. But I've been there before. On every pulpit of every underground church in China, there's a bell. There's a bell. You said, why a bell? Because the pastor, the leader, he would say, let's begin to praise the Lord. And when he would say that, guess what? The people, they began to praise God. I'm not talking about a few holy grunts or a few half-hearted hallelujahs, but I've seen it before. I've seen from 8 to 80. I've seen raise their hands and raise their heart and raise their voices and begin to praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm talking about the rafters that begin to ring as the people will go on and on and on. I'm not talking about for a few moments, but I've seen them there for 10 to 15 and 20 minutes. They're praising God nonstop all the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, the pastor, he will begin to ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. But why would he ring the bell? to get the people to stop praising. Come on now. In America, we've got to ring the bell to get them to start praising. Come on now. Won't you raise your hands up for just some moment? Come on, church. Raise your hands up. Come on, begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God. It's time to praise Him. It's time to worship Him. It's time to magnify Him. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Don't stop. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Well, ding, 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 ding. When they were praising God, guess what? Things did not change yet. But let me tell you something. Why don't you praise Him right now in advance? Why don't you praise Him in advance? It's easy to praise Him when the answer comes. It's easy to praise Him when the manifestation comes. Let's begin to praise Him now. Come on, somebody. Let's begin to praise Him now. Let's begin to praise Him now. Let's begin to praise Him now. You did an answer, begin to praise Him. You did healing, begin to praise Him. You did a miracle, begin to praise Him. You did a breakthrough, begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, you need God to move. Begin to praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. I said praise Him. When you praise Him in advance, that's a high form of faith. Let's praise Him. Let me ask you a question. What side of the Red Sea are you dancing on? You say, what do you mean? After they crossed over the Red Sea and the Lord drowned the Egyptians, the Bible tells us that Miriam and all the women, they grabbed the tambourines and they began to beat those tambourines and they began to dance, rejoicing in the Lord. Woo, why? Because the enemy had been destroyed. But guess what? They could have danced before they ever crossed over. Why is that? Because God's Word, God's Word, God's Word, God's Word said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more forever. So I'm asking the question, what side of the Red Sea are you dancing on? It's time to praise Him now. It's time to pray. Lord, I praise You for the healing in my body. I praise You that my son and daughter is coming back to You. I praise You, O God, my marriage is going to be restored. I praise You, O God, for a mighty outpouring, a mighty revival, a mighty move of God, and new beginnings. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. I pray God's going to move a new generation like never before. Come on, raise your hands and praise Ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hezekiah said, I'm going to walk in the ways of my God. I'm going to walk up right before God. He said, it's time to clean up the house of God. He said, it's time. It all ends today. It's time to offer upon the altar the blood. And he said, it's time to what? Praise the Lord. It's time to what? Praise the Lord. Say it again. Praise the Lord. What time is it? Time to praise the Lord. Come on now. What time do you praise Him? You praise Him when you feel like it. And you praise Him when you don't feel like it. You don't praise God just because you feel good. You praise God because He is good. Come on now. Begin to praise Ye the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, how many years were the people of Judah in bondage? How many years was it? Come on, tell me. 16 years. Okay. But the Bible tells us in this chapter, verse 17, I believe it is. It says, and God turned it all around. And the work was done in 16 days. Come on, shout hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Woo. I believe if God turned it all around for Judah in 16 days, God can do it for you and you and you and you and the rest of you. If God turned it all around for the people of Judah in those days and they were only mere servants of God under the old covenant, the Old Testament, how much more so will God do it for us today? And today we're not just servants, we are servants, but also we're more than that. Who are we? Of the new covenant, we're sons and daughters of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God, turn around. You know what happened? In 16 days, God turned around. And after 16 days, what happened? There was nationwide revival from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm talking about from Washington, D.C., to Butler, Pennsylvania, come on out, to Kentucky, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I'm talking about there was nationwide revival. In 16 days, God turned around. There was increase and prosperity and blessing and abundance. In how many days? 16 days. Come on, show 16 days. Praying this morning, I said, Lord, well, what about your people, new generation? He said, son, I want you to just tell them they need to start believing God for a 16-day miracle, a 16-day outpouring. Come on, shout amen. Now, Hezekiah said, it all ends when? Today. So they started believing God. They started the tournament what? On day one. And so what about us? Today is what? Today is July the 21st, day one. Counting off 16 days. Now, what is 16 days? That is August the 5th. And I believe between now and August the 5th, we're going to see some turnarounds. We're going to see some moves of God. We're going to see God get a hold of your loved ones, your family. Come on, shout amen. I'm talking about people being healed and set free. Habits and addictions are going to be broken. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Raise your hand one more time and praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. I said, suddenly. I said, suddenly. If I shout, suddenly. A few years ago, I was ministering. I'm sorry. I was going to be ministering in India. And I was flying out of my home in Virginia. Now, I now live in Virginia, but originally I'm from the Holy Land. I am. Alabama. But here was in a cold, cold winter day, and I was flying out of Roanoke, Virginia. It was cold, cold, cold. It was real cold. Last week I was in a place, I was in Las Vegas last Sunday, it was 117 degrees. Now that's hot. Come on now. But here was years ago, it was in a cold, cold winter morning. And it's a cold, icy morning. And the pilot says they're going to come around and they're going to de-ice the plane. So they came around and they de-iced the plane. We didn't move. He said, well, they're going to try to come around and de-ice it again. So they came around the second time. They de-iced the plane. He said, everybody just hold on. Trust me. I was holding on. So we finally took off out of Roanoke, flying from there to Washington, Dulles. We got to Washington, Dulles Airport 2 hours late. When I got off that plane, not in checking luggage because I tried to just carry a garment bag, but I had a 50-pound garment bag with me. I got off that plane, and this granddaddy was carrying that 50-pound garment bag just to get it. By the way, I was flying Delta. I don't check luggage when I fly Delta. I don't do that. Why is that? What does Delta stand for, by the way? D-E-L-T-A. Don't expect luggage to arrive. Come on now. And so I got off that plane, and I begin to run down this concourse and run down this way, run there. And if I got to my plane, I finally got to my gate, brother. When I got to my gate, there's only one person there. It was the agent behind the counter. And but I was just and I looked over there and I saw the plane out there. The plane was still there. And she said, "What's that?" I said, "The plane, the plane, the plane." She said, "What?" I said, "Ma'am, I'm supposed to be in the plane." She said, "I'm sorry, sir. They've already boarded the plane." I said, "Ma'am, it's not my fault. They were 2 hours late. I've got to get on board that plane." She said, "I'm sorry, sir. They've already boarded the plane. You can't get on board." I said, "But ma'am, help me out." She says, "Sir, they've already boarded the plane and they've already shut the door." She said, "The door is shut for you." I hear hell just hissing. I was just saying, "The door shut." Then I was laughing. And I said, "Ma'am, help me out." She said, "No." She had to point a finger at me. It's about that long. She reminded me of the Wicked Witch of the West. I was looking for the flying monkeys. Come on now. I said, "Ma'am, please help me out." She said, "Sir," she got an attitude. She says, "Sir, it's against the rules and the regulations. It's against the policies and procedures. It's against the, what else? It's against the law of the Medes and the Persians." Come on now. She says, "Sir, the door is shut for you." And I stand there. Oh my God. And I said, Lord, oh God. He says, son, begin to praise me and watch what I'll do for you. Woo! I said, what's going to happen? He said, son, begin to praise me. Begin to praise me. Now, what kind of a God is he? He's the God of the what? Suddenly. Come on, say it. Suddenly. He said, begin to praise me and watch what I do for you. I said, what's God going to do? He says, son, begin to praise me. So I turned around from the desk and I started walking toward the concourse there. And I said, Lord, I don't understand this, but I praise you. I praise you in everything, not for everything, but in the midst of everything. Give thanks. I said, Lord, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. And by this time, a lady was walking by. She said, hey, Brother Johnson. I said, hey. She recognized me, but I was saying, where's she from? Denver, Dallas, Detroit, Buffalo, Boise, Birmingham, I don't know. I said, hey. She said, what's going on? I said, oh, not much. What's going on with you? She said, I'm up here this week from Atlanta. And then I remember what church you went to. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm a supervisor with Delta Airlines. Oh, I started feeling good. Come on now. Woo! I started feeling good. She said, I'm up here this week doing some training. And just about 5 minutes ago, I don't know, but I decided to give everybody a break. And I said to myself, I'm going to stretch my legs and go for a walk. Honey, that wasn't her. That was God. What's going on with you? I said, the plane. I told her. And she said, hold on just a moment. Come on now. She walked around the counter and she says something to the Wicked Witch of the West. And about that time, that sweet, sanctified, spirit-filled, beloved woman, she grabbed the horn. She said, open up the door. We got one more. We got one more. We got one more. Come on, shout hallelujah. I'm talking about he's still the God of the suddenly. Come on, raise your hands up high and shout, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Raise your hands up high and say, Lord, I'm believing for my suddenly in a home, my family, my marriage, my business. Come on, somebody. It's about time you say, Lord, I'm taking my limits off of you. God, I believe you. You're a mighty God. I have faith in you, my God. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Can somebody shout, do it again. Do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. I said, do it again, do it again, do it again. Do it again. Turn to somebody, turn to about 3 or 4 people and say, your suddenly is on the way. Come on, tell them, I said, your suddenly is on the way. I said, your suddenly is on the way. Hallelujah. Praise team, would you come back up for just a moment? Come on. Come on, praise team. Come on back up. Hallelujah. I like it down there. I don't like being high and lifted up. Come on now. How can somebody shout amen? I said, he's the God of the suddenly. I said, he's the God of the... Him and my Bible, brother. Hallelujah, thanks. I said, he's the God of the suddenly.
Thank you, Father.
Begin to play, if you would. Pastor Michael, in the key of S. That's for suddenly. Come on now. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Everybody shout, suddenly. Come and shout again, suddenly. Shout again, suddenly. A couple of years ago, it was the 1st of June, a couple of years ago, and I got a letter from my mama in Indiana. And she said, Brother Johnston, you were at our church 13 years ago. I was only at that church one time because after I was there, the pastor left and I never got there with the new pastor. But she said, you were at our church 13 years ago. And she said, it's a Sunday night. That's why you don't want to miss tonight. And she said, we waited outside in the parking lot. And one of our friends called us when you begin to pray for people around the front. We didn't want to come into the service because we knew that our son was going to cause a commotion. We were someone's going to upset a lot of people, so we waited until the prayer time was there. And she said, you finished preaching the word, you were praying for people around the front, and her friend called us. And we got out of the car, myself and my husband and my son, my 5-year-old son, we walked in. And I can remember it now. They're walking down that far aisle over there, and the dad was holding the son, and the son was so loud, saying, let me go, leave me alone, put me down. He was fighting, squatting at his dad, his mom. Leave me alone, let me go, put me down. And the mom sent that letter. You're praying for people in the prayer line, but you stopped and it came over to us. And asked her the question, what's wrong? What's going on? And she said, her son has mental disorders, mental issues, severe autism, problems. At a school in kindergarten, he will kick and bite the other students and jab them with pencils and knock them down, push them down. It's so bad. We got a letter from the teacher on Friday saying, if things don't change, we can't keep him here. And we're believing God. We're believing God to touch our son. As she was talking to me, he was still fighting his dad. Let me go. Leave me alone. Put me down. I mean, just slapping away, fighting away. But a mom says, we've come believing God. Now, I don't remember what I prayed. I don't know the words I used. Then she sent the letter she wrote to me. She said, you reached over and you laid your hand upon my son. You prayed a very, very short prayer. What did I pray? I don't know. God heal him. God touch him. Lord change him. Whatever. I don't know. She said, but as you reached over, he began to swat at you. Began to hit at your arm. But you prayed a short prayer. And as soon as you prayed that prayer, immediately my son calmed down. Immediately he calmed down. He goes to school the next week. But the next Friday, the teacher sends another note. A different kind of a note. And the teacher said, I don't know what has happened to your son, but in the past week, he's become the most gentle, the most peaceful, the most kindest, the most attentive student that I've got here in my classroom. And guess what happened? Guess what happened years later? He graduated high school valedictorian. Come on, shout it. Oh, hallelujah! Because our God is the God of the Saturday. Come on, shout amen. God's going to turn some things for you, honey. Get ready because God has a suddenly on his agenda for you. Hallelujah. Let go share that. Raise your hands and begin to praise him. Raise your hands and begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Begin to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mela shakona batila banda. Hushebe kela bariba bamando subebehingea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God, 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 a mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Michael, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
Lord, just quicken that verse to me. You know the verse. You quoted it many times, I'm sure. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. People lied about you, they mocked you, they ridiculed you, they put you down, lay bandages at you. But God said, hold on, my son, because you're about ready to see some things turn around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, just gave me another verse of Scripture. Psalm 118, verse 15, from the Message Bible says, and the Lord, he's going to turn the tide. He's the God of the turnaround. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel, but right about now, I'm standing before you more than as a preacher. I stand before you as a prophet of God, saying you better get ready because hell's trying to come against you to bring you down, down, down. But God said, hold on, new generation, because there's getting ready to come a mighty shaking, a mighty stirring, a mighty move, a mighty outpouring like you've never seen before. Now, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And there have been people who were lied to, deceived, and they've left this church. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm just by the Spirit of God. You haven't said a word to me, Brother Michael. Nobody has. But God has sent in people, and they try to bring chaos and confusion. But God said, I'm the God of peace, and I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. Why don't we believe God in 16 days? Hallelujah. Let's believe God for 16 days. Hallelujah. Now look at me right now. We're going to all pray together. Now I'm not going to hand to my people unless God directs me in just a moment. But tonight, we see maybe heal like never before. I'll be in Quincy, Illinois next Sunday. The last time I was there on Sunday, a lady, had a cancer of the tongue. Many parts of her tongue had been cut out because of the cancer. But I said, somebody's receiving a miracle in your mouth. She came up to the front under the hands of the fire God hit her. She went to the ladies' room. She stuck out her tongue. Sometimes it's okay to stick out your tongue. She stuck out her tongue, and where she'd had sections of the tongue cut out before, God completely restored that and took away all the cancer. We're believing God. Ha shakaha sika bahunga. I was in Durham, North Carolina some time back at Living Waters Christian Center. Pastor Larry Queen. It was an altar have every woman. Every woman in the church house that's been told to never be able to have children come to the front right now. I spoke that word and 17 ladies came to the front. I prayed for all 17 ladies. I went back to the church Living Waters a few months later. And when I went back, guess what? All 17 ladies were praying. Come on, shout amen. We're going to believe God tonight. Bring your friends, your neighbors. Bring those prayer calls. But let me ask you a question before we move on quickly. How many of you today will say there's an Ahaz in my life? A physical Ahaz, an emotional Ahaz, a financial Ahaz. Americanly has whatever it may be, but this Ahaz. I'm ready for my Ahaz to die. I'm ready for my God to turn around. If you're ready for your 70, raise your hands up high. Come on. Put them up high. Put them up high. If you're really ready, wave those hands at me right now. If you're really ready, come on. I want everybody with your hands raised. Everybody, get out of your seat to come around this room right now. Come on, hurry. Come on. If you raise your hands, you're not coming. You don't believe God. Come on now. But if you believe God, get out of your seats right now and come down this front. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God is going to turn it around. Oh, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. Oh, get ready. Get ready. Just a moment, praise and get ready. Hallelujah. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Whoa. He made 5 decisions. And that 5th decision was this. He said, it's time to praise the Lord. When you begin to praise Him, the atmosphere will change in charge. When praise goes up, something comes down. When you begin to praise them, the enemy will be put to flight. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to 3. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And when I say 3, I want you to raise your hands and raise your heart and raise your voice like all of Judah did. When I say 3, I want you to begin to praise Him. I want you to begin to give the Lord the greatest shout of praise. You give Him all year long. And guess what? Your suddenly is on the way. When I say 3, begin to praise Him like never before. Are you ready, church? Are you ready? Get ready. 1, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. 2, get ready, get ready, get ready. 3, hallelujah. Brother, raise your hands over this. Raise up both hands. God said, get ready because you're in a time of change right now. You're going to a time of transition. Even ask the Lord, but what am I going to do? God said, don't worry, my son, because I'm your God. I've already walked ahead of you, and your future is as bright as my promises. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the change in time that's going on, because I am your God, and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Raise your hand. Look at me. Raise your hands up, darling. Hell's trying to mock you. Hell's trying to put you down. Hell's trying to bring up the days that's gone by, your past. But God said, your past is past. God said, from this day forward, no longer do I want you to be past possessed, but I want you to be future focused, because I've got a great plan for your life, and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Right now, the healer's in the house. The healer's in the house. The Balm of Gilead, the great physician, Jehovah Rapha. Right now, somebody's been having some problems in the back, back spasms. But you're being healed right now. Where are you? Wave your hands, back spasms. Be healed. Allergies are being healed right now. Allergies are being healed. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. The whole of, oh yeah. Somebody's got a stiff elbow. I never stepped in all my life, but a stiff elbow. So God is healing. Forget it. Come on, praise Him, church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can somebody shout amen? Oh, sing it again one more time. Yeah. Oh, come on, somebody, praise the Lord. One more time.
Hallelujah. Oh.
Verses on the screen. But brother, do you have the Message Bible? Do you have the Message Bible available? The Message Bible? You don't? But let me share something with you very quickly and close. Keep on playing software, Brother Michael. I love that. How many of you appreciate our pastor? Come on, shout amen. I don't know what it is, but God said, get ready. You're going to see something bad changes. Come. Get ready before this year is over. There's somebody supernatural changes. Some
thank you, Father.
But just keep on playing.
Thank you, Father.
This September will be 14 years ago. 14 years ago, my wife said to me, baby, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. I said, I'll see you in just a moment. She goes upstairs, has a physical attack, and she's gone. If she was still here, we'd been married 44 years, but I had her for 30 years. She is my best friend. She is my best friend. She's the love of my life, my sweetheart, my bride. I call her my hunk of burning love. I call her every day. I call her 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. If I was in Kentucky, California, Texas, India, China, Japan, wherever I was, I'd call her. My heart is, I loved her. I loved her. I don't get to hurry about anything. I dated my wife for 7 years. Come on now. She called that the tribulation period. Come on now. When I got married, guess what? I called the honeymoon the rapture. Hallelujah. But she had a physical attack. She's gone. It's like that. She's gone. My life was crushed. I was devastated. I lost my best friend. I lost my best friend, the mother of my children, my everything, my all in all. I was hurting. How about it's natural to grieve? Come on, it's natural to grieve. It's natural. Some of you may be going through a grieving time now because you lost a loved one or friend. And I was grieving. It's natural to grieve. But on top of the grieving process, hell jumped on my case. Said, I've got you down now, and I'm going to take you out. And I started being bombarded by every demon spirit around. Spiritual warfare, like I'd never known all those years of ministry, all those years of serving God. Spiritual warfare, demonic activity all around me. I was going through hell and back. I was going through hell and back. And for the next 6 weeks, I didn't eat, couldn't sleep, I lost about 25 pounds. I don't recommend that diet. I was going through hell and back. And I would call the pastor and said, I can't come. I can't come. But after 6 weeks, it was on Wednesday, I rolled out of bed early that morning and said, God, I don't know why this has happened to my wife. She wasn't living in sin. She was not out of your will. She was walking in faith, living a good life. But God, I don't know why. But Lord, I don't know. But all I know is this. From this day forth, I'm going to keep on living for you. I'm going to keep on magnifying your name. I'm going to tell everybody that she loved you, that she made heaven her home. I'm not going to slow down. And I raised my hands up on my knees that Wednesday morning, Pastor Michael. Tears coursing down my face. And the Lord says, son, get ready. When God says get ready, what does He mean? Get ready. He said, God, I'm going to speak to you right now. And the very split second, He said, I'm speaking right now. All of a sudden, the telephone began to ring. I looked over there. There was a number of a no name. Normally, I don't answer the phone like that. Because of my voicemail, what's saying? If you're a telemarketer, lose my number. But if your friend just leave the message, I'll call you back. But I saw the number, but no name. I started out to answer it. But the Lord says, son, pick it up. And I said, hello? All of a sudden, I heard, is this Danny Johnson? Yes, it is. This is so-and-so. A true prophet of God. I never met him before personally. I heard about him, knew of him. We got many mutual friends. I said, this is he. He said, well, 2 days ago, one of our good friends told me about you, how you lost your wife. And as soon as he said that, the Lord spoke to me and said, get Danny's phone number, because in 2 days you'll minister to him on my behalf. He said, so my dear brother, a matter of fact, for the past 2 days, I've been praying for you for the past 2 days. He said, I've got a word from the Lord. He begins to prophesy over me some things. And a lot of the things he prophesied, it came to pass. Yet others, I know they will come to pass because of the accuracy of this prophetic man of God. And when he finished, he said, one more thing. I said, what's that? He says, as much as I appreciate the prophetic, as much as you appreciate the prophetic, never, never, never build your life upon the prophetic alone. It must be built upon, based upon the word of the living God.
Amen.
He said, and my brother, if ever I've heard from God, I know that I've heard from God when I give you a verse of Scripture. I said, okay, what verse? He said, I thank God for the King James, the Living Bible, the Amplified, etc. But don't go there. This verse, God told me today, is only to be received from the Message Bible. I said, brother, I don't have a Message Bible. He said, let me read it to you. I said, okay. He said, it's Amos chapter 9, verse 13. He read to me. Ooh, I came alive. I went out that day and I bought a Message Bible. Come on now. That was Wednesday. The next day, Thursday, I got a phone call from a pastor, a friend of mine, in West Palm Beach, Florida. He said, Danny, He said, I was praying for you just a moment ago. And the Lord told me to call you and give you a verse of Scripture. I said, what verse? He said, it's Amos chapter 9, verse 13, from the Message Bible.
Ooh!
I The next day, Friday, I get a phone call from a friend of mine in Huntsville, Alabama, pastor. He said, "Daddy, the Lord told me to call you and give you a verse of Scripture." I kind of knew what it was going to be. I said, "What verse?" He says, Amos chapter 9, verse 13, from the Message Bible. What does it say? This is for you today. Remember, he's the God of the what? Say it again. What's Amos 9, 13 from the Message Bible say? Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. This is God's decree to you. Things are going to happen so fast for you that your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. Everything will be happening so fast for you that you won't be able to keep up with it all. And everywhere you look, there's going to be blessings. Blessings like wine pouring out the mountains and hills. Come on, shout it. Woo! Hallelujah! So guess what is on my tag on my pickup truck? Amos 9:13. Come on now. Guess what's in my car out there? What tag my car? No kidding, the same tag. It's Amos 9. It looks like a one though. Come on now. Amos 9:13. And I'm here to say this. God's going to turn it for you, Pastor Michael.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that God's going to turn it. The generation of church.
Hallelujah.
Can somebody shout amen?
Yeah.
Get the Lord and shout one more time. One more time. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. I love you, Pastor Church. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, church. You don't want to miss tonight. I'm just getting warmed up now. Boy, I can't wait for tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise God.
Glory to God. Well, have you enjoyed this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful job, Brother Danny. We appreciate you so much. Appreciate your ministry. Make sure that you tell somebody, make sure you come back tonight. You don't have anything this evening more important than coming back in here tonight. Now,